98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Weekly Blast.
Chris Paul is our new Kurt Warner, a veteran star who arrived in Arizona late in his career, a Hall of Fame leader who gave us a relatively small chunk of his brilliance, a sports star we must share with other cities, and the kind of guy who will go down as changing absolutely everything in Arizona. Warner brought the Cardinals to the Super Bowl, proving anything is possible. They've been a competent, functioning NFL franchise ever since, except maybe for the Derek Anderson part and maybe even the Josh Rosen. Paul brought a cutthroat, hardcore dynamic to the culture project of Monty Williams, and the team is 20-4 despite all sorts of distractions from the DA contract to the NBA investigators who are back in town this week conducting interviews. Paul is also like Warner because you can trust him in the hottest moments of the biggest games, and it's easy to take that for granted when you don't have it, but it's impossible to find when you don't. Seriously, Suns fans, you know how nervous you get in the final 5 minutes of a close game, but Chris Paul feels none of that. He has reached that rare zenith where he understands and sees everything, and he still has all the physical talent to make it work. So enjoy. Warner has got a movie coming out on Christmas Day, as if December 25th wasn't a big enough date on our calendar. While Paul is still creating his closing scenes, both men were unexpected gifts that changed everything about our sporting landscape in Arizona. All right, today's Bickley Blast brought to you by my great friends at Chapman BMW. Test drive the ultimate driving machine at Chapman BMW in Chandler, at Chapman BMW on Camelback. Find them online at chapmanbmw.com.
Over to Crowder. Crowder's pass is picked off and stolen by Murray. Murray has it knocked away by Paul.
Wow. And
finally, it's going to go out of bounds. Who's going to have possession here?
It's going to be Suns. Ball went off of DeJounte Murray after Chris Paul knocks it away from him.
Paul being shadowed defensively by McDermott now. He drives down the left side, comes back out on top. Here's the fadeaway from 17. Yes, indeed. It is good, and he is fouled on the play. Oh, wow. A
couple late highlights from Chris Paul. One on defense that led to a big three. One on offense that helped ice the game. He was fantastic in the late stages of that game. 21 points, 10 assists, 10 of those points in the fourth quarter. Suns get another win. Chris Paul continues to thrive in crunch time. And I did bring this up, and it wasn't an overwhelming fear, but I had wondered, because we saw it so often last year, not just in tight game situations, late game situations, but for extended stretches where Chris Paul just said, okay, I'm taking over the game offensively, maybe even earlier than the fourth quarter. I had wondered, what his propensity was to do that at this point of the season, if he still had it. Now, it wasn't like one of those 40-point outbursts that he had in the playoffs at times last year, but he kind of did it last night for the first time in a while. And to hit on some of the terminology you used in the blast, it is very reassuring when you have a late game. They're not going to win them all. They're not going to go undefeated in those situations. There will be teams that make more clutch plays than the Suns in select games, but if you go into a contest feeling like, okay, it's going to come down to a possession or two late in the fourth quarter, the Suns have an advantage. It's just that simple.
Your point guard in basketball brings an emotional energy to the floor where if you're not really good with your handle, if you're not really confident in what you can do, you can get exposed really, really quickly. That's just the nature of the position, because you're handling the ball and you're facing defensive players who are so quick and so long and so rangy, they can make you look stupid. And you see it every night in the NBA. Chris Paul just that never enters your mind that Chris Paul is going to do something stupid with this basketball. Let's talk about that late steal on DeJounte Murray last night, because when I saw it, it wasn't like he just reached into the bread basket and poked it away. DeJounte Murray was going up, and apparently Chris Paul understood that DeJounte Murray liked to bring the basketball this way, over his left shoulder, on his way up. He put his hand
up.
He put the Euros, exactly. He put his hand right into it, lodged it up, and boom. And it's like, how do you know that? How do you anticipate that? How do you play that? Because you're Chris Paul. And he explained Jedi it. Mind tricks.
Here was again that exchange on how he made that play. Now this is kind of three voices here. It's Dwayne Rankin from AZ Central, Chris Paul, and Jay Crowder chiming in as well.
He's watching a lot of basketball. That's it.
I mean, but he's going up. So, are you when he's coming towards you? Are you thinking?
Told you just told us. We just talked about it.
What are you thinking on that?
You know what it is.
You know everybody go over the top on the Euro step. He guessed it, swiped up. Hell of a play. He got hands. Top five in steals in it for a reason.
Although the stat sheet says a block, and Cam just said you probably would prefer that to be a steal.
Mm-hmm. I'll take the win. You put it wherever you want to. Yeah. Just sort of knowing the game and what everybody in the league sort of does, you know, when they're making a Euro step or when you're going up for a layup. And the thing is, DeJounte is a great defender like that, too. You know, and knowing how to steal and just tracking the ball.
Yeah, here's Monty Williams on Chris Paul's big defensive play.
I told Chris those are plays that not many people can make. Most guys would foul in that situation, but he was able to get his hands on the ball somehow, and then DeJounte couldn't figure out where the ball was, and he clipped it before it went out. But just the awareness not to foul. Because I haven't seen the film yet, but somebody was coming right behind them. And so in those situations, you don't want to foul because maybe you get a blocked shot because the offensive guy doesn't see the defender coming behind him. But it was a big-time play by Chris.
Yeah, it was just an unbelievable play. And he led to success to other players. He wasn't the only guy that had a good game. Jay Crowder, who we heard from on that soundbite as well, he was fantastic last night. He finished with 19 points, 4 of 10 from three-point range, doing all the little things that he does to impact a basketball game. Cam Johnson is, after what I thought was a slow start to his season, he's coming around and becoming a lot more consistent off the bench. Mikal Bridges, dislocated pinky. It was wrapped up. He played 37 minutes last night.
He was grabbing at it a couple of times, and I'm not all that comfortable with that. I don't know what you think about that.
Luckily, they have an open schedule now.
Well, that's the thing. They don't play it until Friday. This is perfect for this basketball.
And then they don't play again until Monday.
He hasn't been, since that injury occurred in that game in San Francisco, he hasn't looked as comfortable offensively.
No.
They didn't need him to be last night. He kind of picked his spots, but, you know, 9 rebounds. Landry Shamet had a somewhat of a tough game. I thought Cameron Payne's game was uneven. JaVale McGee, you mentioned him coming off the bench. Really early lift off the bench. He's been, a godsend off the bench. And, DeAndre Ayton, we talked about him. I thought it was an uneven game by him. Came around on the boards late, but a little sloppy with the basketball. 5 turnovers and didn't make a lot of catches that led to opportunities for San Antonio.
Yeah.
But a win for the Suns nonetheless. Yep. 108-104, they beat the Spurs. They do have the Boston Celtics coming to town on Friday night. Coming up next, some NFL talk. A crazy game in Buffalo last night. You probably won't see one like that for a while. How it affects the playoff picture in the AFC and more next. It's Bickley and Murata mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata. Hash marks.
For the offensive line to do what they did was incredible, and they deserve all the credit in the world. And Josh, for calling the plays that he called, knowing the environment, and knowing that we knew that we were going to be able to run the ball. The running backs ran hard, Ramondre, Damian, and B. So you couldn't ask for better effort from those guys. And, yeah, it was just a crazy game to be a part of. But we knew if we didn't turn the ball over, we'd be good. So it was just a weird day. But at the end of the day, you just get more points than the other team, and it's a great day.
Mac Jones, quarterback of the New England Patriots. I'm guessing he didn't have to ice his arm down. It got iced during the game. He threw the ball 3 times. A total throwback game where the Patriots just said, okay, there's conditions. We're not even going to mess with it. And they threw 3 passes in beating the Buffalo Bills 14-10 on Monday night.
And those poor diehards in Buffalo sat through it to the very end. And there were a couple of drives at the end of the game where if the Bills could have just scored a touchdown, they would have just won the game and foiled that whole plot from Bill Belichick. And the Patriots defense just kept coming up with big play after big play when it really mattered. The rushing attack of the Patriots, this game transcended because it wasn't just the amount of rushing yards the Patriots had or the amount of attempts that they had. It was the blatant, obvious That's all we're going to do, Buffalo. See if you can stop us. And they brought a cold weather game. They brought a better cold weather game plan to Buffalo than the team that lives in Buffalo. This morning on radio in Boston, Bill Belichick used a very interesting combination of words. They asked, "Hey, coach, how you doing?" "I'm feeling a little run down." That was his quote. "I'm feeling a little run down." People who know Bill Belichick know exactly what he was saying there, because it's the Bills that got run over.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And so this is just one of those games where you can't, I'm trying to get my mind around the fact that the Patriots are once again the number one seed in the AFC.
Well, there's that, but again, going back to the statistical anomaly of all of it, there were four quarterbacks just this week. Tom Brady, Jared Goff, Justin Herbert, Matthew Stafford, who threw three or more touchdown passes in their respective games. The Patriots threw three passes in their respective game. It's just ridiculous.
It's just so old school, and it's just such a Belichick kind of thing.
And to your point now, the AFC, I mentioned it yesterday in the splash and previewing that game. Had Buffalo found a way to win that game, all bets are off. I mean, they would have had the tiebreaker over New England in the current. Instead, the Bills are clinging to their playoff lives right now after losing four of their last seven games. They're 7-5. They are tied with Cincinnati and the Chargers, but the Chargers and the Bengals have the tiebreakers over them right now. So that's the last spot right now. Look at, I mentioned it earlier too, Bick. There are eight teams with four or five losses in the AFC. If you stretch the number of losses to six, add three more teams to the mix, because you have the Colts, Raiders, Browns, and Broncos. That's four more.
Mm-hmm.
And the Miami Dolphins are one of the hottest teams in football, and they've got seven losses, and they're in 13th place still in the AFC.
That's crazy. The Patriots, like the Cardinals, remain unbeaten on the road. The Patriots are 6-0. They're 3-4 at home. So when we talk about the Cardinals having to find their mojo at home, look at the Patriots. Yeah, this
unbeaten
is
unbeaten on the road with a rookie quarterback.
It's so crazy. It's just, last night was just such a wicked football game. Our good buddy Zach Lynn, drummer from Jimmy Eat World, tweeted out last night, "The hoodie is a witch." And I thought, that's a great line, and that's the great opening line of the next Jimmy Eat World smash hit.
Do you remember when Tim Duncan finally retired and the Spurs had a couple of lean years, and it was like, finally, I think that was when the Suns swept them in the playoffs. Finally, it's done. And then a couple years later, with Kawhi Leonard, they won the championship again. And you're like, are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
This only took 1 year for the Patriots to again be a Super Bowl contender. Yeah. It's disgusting.
No, completely.
I thought we were done.
So did I.
And again, most of the credit is going to the witch in the hoodie. But not from Sean McDermott.
Let's not give more credit than we need to give credit to Bill Belichick in this one. It was, whether it's Bill or anybody else, they beat us, right? But you sit here and you tell me when we start with the average starting field position of the 40-yard line and he starts with the 23-yard line, and I'm rounding up in both cases, and we were 1-for-4 in the red zone and they're 0-for-1 in the red zone, you give me that ahead of time, I'm saying I like my chances. So it's not, I don't think, with all due respect, it's not a Bill Belichick type thing. It's what are you doing with the opportunities you got? What are you doing with the opportunities you got? We turned the ball over at the plus 30-some yard line. Sloppy football. So I'm very comfortable in that situation.
Now,
what was he thinking with that?
I don't think he is. I just think the Bills are really a desperate team right now. They're wondering what's going on. Josh Allen, their quarterback, who threw the ball 30 times in those same conditions, he's remaining optimistic.
We've got some great leaders. We've got some true professionals on this team. And, you know, this can be one that can rip us apart or bring us together. And I think the latter. You know, I think, I think we'll get things rolling, and I know for a fact that we will because of the makeup that we have.
Well, the core of that team is very much the same as last year, and you saw when the Bills had one of those moments where they had their hearts ripped out, and it happened at State Farm Stadium when they lost to the Cardinals on the Hail Mary play. They rebounded very nicely, and they went on a nice run. Now, that was a one-game kind of heartbreak. They've lost, again, 4 of 7. They went from being, in most people's eyes, the best team in the AFC now to holding on. They're tested a little bit differently this year, but their resolve is not completely untested. You know, I think they're too good and they have too much talent to continue to play this
way.
Yeah,
but this is really a crisis point for them because this was supposed to be their year.
Mm.
And this was, no, more than that, this was supposed to be their era. And now it's the Patriots again. I felt going into this game, this felt like Peyton Manning and the Colts trying to get past this immovable object and never being able to do it. And then you hear Sean McDermott talk like that, and you're like, dude, that is just not the way to do it.
By the way, speaking of Peyton Manning, did you hear what he said on the Manning cast?
Mm.
That he had reached out
to Mac Jones
to try to get in touch with him. And Mac's like, yeah, you got to go through media relations.
Yeah,
and they denied him.
Right. So here's what Bill Belichick was asked after the game. They said, hey, is there anything you can take from this game into your game on December 26th? His response was, we were talking about that last night. We can use our whole passing game. All the pass plays we have, they haven't seen. Yeah, I think you're right. I think they're winning by 50.
That would be
Foxborough.
And they're going to run the ball twice.
That's, you know what? It's
Mac Jones, 40
do.
For 50 for 496 uh-huh. yards and
That's
four
exactly
touchdowns.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
Oh, the Patriots.
And you're so right about that AFC bunched up playoff field.
Crazy.
Man, the fight for those last couple of playoff berths.
And the NFC is pretty bunched up, too.
It is, too. Not as much as the AFC. There's a little bit more separation, but coming down the stretch, these last 5 weeks in both conferences are going to be nuts.
Oh, no doubt.
You can win VIP tickets to the FanDuel Fan Fest happening this Saturday at Westworld of Scottsdale. Head to the contest page at arizonasports.com for complete details and for your chance to win. Coming up next, the Arizona Cardinals, to this point, have conquered the road. How do they do the same at home? That is a challenge this week. We'll get into that and more next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
I've always hated the cold and all that stuff like that. I've never been like one of those guys like, this is football weather. Like, no, it's not. Football weather is 70 degrees. And with the clouds out and it's nice and breezy. Like that's not football weather. But it was fun though. I think that's my favorite part about playing in games like that. It's like you kinda get to have one of those things you talk about, like, oh, next time we play the go game, like, oh man, you remember that time we were down there? Or like I always before this game I would always say the time we went to Green Bay a few years ago and it snowed, like, oh man, it was so cold down there. Now next year I'll be like, man, remember when we went to Chicago in December, it was freezing. That's literally the only part that I like about it.
DJ Humphries. Kind of on my side of the argument when it comes to cold weather games is somebody from North Carolina who played college ball at Florida and has played his entire pro career at Arizona. He doesn't like the cold weather, but if the Cardinals do things correctly the rest of the way, it's something they don't have to worry about because their 5 remaining regular season games will all be played indoors.
Yep.
Including their home games at State Farm Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you do take care of business, get that number one seed, everybody's coming to your place.
Yeah.
And if things go really well and you win the NFC and clinch a berth in the Super Bowl, that's in Los Angeles too. So
all 3 of the home games are special occurrences all by themselves. The Rams on Monday Night Football, that's Armageddon in terms of the NFC West. The Colts on Christmas Day, that's the Christmas Day platform against the best running team they will have faced all year. Then that last game against the Seahawks, man, is that a bag of rats? Because you think about this. If the Seahawks are looking at the Cardinals and the Cardinals need to win to secure the number one seed, oh, boy, would they take joy in beating the Cardinals on January 2nd. So those 3 home games, every last one of them is momentous. The 2 road games, it's Detroit and
Dallas.
And Dallas, of course.
Mm-hmm. A feisty Detroit team.
Yeah, yeah.
That has now the taste of victory.
That cannot be stopped. The point is, it's right there for them. The fact that they're all indoor games can't be overstated enough after that weather game they just played in Chicago. I think you mentioned part of the thing about watching that Bills game last night is a sense of, man, they finally have this showdown that means so much, especially to Buffalo, and they have to play it in those conditions. And some people, but I know exactly what you're saying. You hate for that, for the random to influence your road to where you want to go. And so from the Cardinal perspective, it is right there in front of them, right there in front of them. If they can win out, they're going to be sitting in the proverbial redbird seat, not the catbird seat, the redbird seat.
I like that.
Thank you. Rich Eisen yesterday went on an impassioned plea. He's the latest national commentator to kind of really reject the idiots who are not giving the Cardinals their due. First, it was Colin Cowherd. Rich Eisen went on a prolonged monologue saying, what does this team have to do? Why is nobody paying attention to this football team? One of our listeners cracked the code yesterday. The reason why a lot of these national pundits are not talking about the Cardinals isn't because they're idiots, but by positioning their take as, nah, their window is closed. No, they're not that good. It gives them a pass to not talk about the Cardinals. It gives them the pass to hyper-focus on the Cowboys and Baker Mayfield and New England. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you acknowledge, like Rich Eisen did, that they're great, then you got to talk about them.
But shouldn't Kyler Murray be one of those transcendent, regardless of market athletes?
Yes.
Heisman Trophy winner. Mm-hmm. Super exciting, highlights every game, on the best team in the NFL. Shouldn't that be enough to drive them in the national media conversation and make them appealing to talk about?
You would think it's the ratings that they care about. That's what they care about.
But Kyler Murray can equal ratings,
you would think so.
I don't know if you saw this tweet from Kyle Odegaard, who was formerly with the Cardinals, but he put out a great tweet yesterday. Top 10 teams in the NFL in terms of record. And how many games each of their starting quarterbacks has missed. The only teams that fall into the top 10 that have had quarterbacks miss games, Baltimore, Lamar Jackson's missed one game. Dallas, Dak Prescott's missed one game. Aaron Rodgers has missed one game for the Packers. The rest of the top 10 teams in the NFL have had three combined games missed by their quarterbacks, just as many as Kyler Murray missed for the team that has the best record. Mm-hmm. So again, I think you hit on something, and you know, crediting our listener for cracking the code, it gives them a pass. I was going through preliminary mm-hmm. power rankings today. USA Today still has the Cardinals number 3. It's frustrating. Ultimately, it means nothing.
Right.
But it does make you wonder about what these people mm-hmm. are watching. You know, you're paid to follow football for a living, and it doesn't matter who's in front of the Cardinals, what type of personnel they're putting out there.
Right.
They've overcome their obstacles better than anybody else has this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And you win a couple of games with the backup quarterback. You do what they've done on the road. I said yesterday in the blast yesterday, they own the single most impressive feat in football. 7 road victories by 10 or more points. You just don't see that.
No.
And so this is kind of what it is, and I think slowly but surely there's a clapback from people who are actually smart, and they smell the con that's going on, and they know exactly. Because remember when Colin Cowherd was giving the Cardinals their due? No, he was giving the Suns their due. It was the Suns that he went off on. And given there but it's the same thing. The Suns and their quest for respect. It's the same thing. And he was basically pointing out how disingenuous the national media is when turning their back on the Suns. And, same thing is true with the Cardinals.
Here's a little clip from Rich Eisen that you were just referencing.
If this team was named the Kansas City Chiefs or the Dallas Cowboys or the Green Bay Packers or the Los Angeles Rams or the New England Patriots or the Ravens or the Steelers, we would be talking about, or the Buccaneers even now, we would be talking about, this is a Super Bowl team. And for some reason, everybody looks at the Arizona Cardinals and goes, yeah. They talk higher register to them.
It's true. And I think our listener pointed out exactly why. Because if you identify them as being great, then you have to talk about them. Mm. Otherwise, what are you doing? If you dismiss them or put them third in your power rankings, I don't believe in them, so I'm not going to talk about them.
Print up the T-shirts right now. Arizona Cardinals, dot, dot, dot.
Could it be as simple as they don't, these old school football commentators don't want the Cardinals to be right by hiring Cliff Kingsbury?
I think there's some lingering.
By drafting a 5'9" quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
But that shouldn't be what drives your conversation. It's what you see on the field, what is happening in front of you.
I will only root for teams who are coached by successful college coaches
right.
and quarterbacks who are 6'5" and taller.
I will only watch teams that are coached by guys who paid their dues.
Yep. Herm Edwards, what's your impression of the national media's thoughts on the Cardinals?
Yeah, got to get higher pitch though, Herm. If you want to get into the T-shirt club with us,
yeah, right.
Arizona Cardinals.
It's just weird. It's so weird.
Soak it all in though. It's still fun.
People are so funny. I was in the gym yesterday and I overheard this conversation these two guys were having. And one guy was like, "Yeah, I don't pay attention to the NFL anymore with all the nonsense." And you know where they're going with that.
Oh yeah.
And the other guy goes, "Yeah, all I do is pay attention to college football. I love college football." The other guy goes, "Yeah, who's in the Fiesta Bowl?" The guy goes, I don't know. I'm like, "Oh, you really love college football, do you? You really love, you don't even know Notre Dame is coming to the Fiesta Bowl, and you're sitting here trying to make an argument that you don't pay attention to the NFL and that you
football.
Love college football."
Also, yeah. Dan, how many days a week are you in the gym?
A lot. And I'm not, no, and again, I'm not
do you
trying
have
to flex.
To ask when you look at him?
Metaphorically or literally or figuratively, I told you all this. It's the only way I can deal with the fatigue of doing the morning show.
Mm-hmm.
Is to go burn it out.
I got to get on your level.
Yeah.
I'm lit, you're woke. Gambo swole.
Yeah.
You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, talk about a weird week for the Arizona State Sun Devils men's basketball team. A historic loss followed by a good bounce back win. We'll talk to their head coach, Bobby Hurley, next. He's Dan the Gym Rat Bickley. I'm Vince Murata. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
This is the Sun Devil Fast Break with ASU men's head basketball coach Bobby Hurley. The Sun Devil Fast Break is presented by Arizona Ford Dealers.
Yeah, the Arizona State Sun Devils got a taste of Pac-12 play. And it was a mixed bag. The home game against Washington State went one way, but a big bounce-back win in Eugene over Oregon on Sunday. Joining us now for his weekly visit, the head coach of the Sun Devils, Bobby Hurley, joins us here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. Coach, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Good. Watching that game Sunday against Oregon looked like a completely different team from what we saw earlier in the week against Washington State. And we'll start there because I talk about it all the time, and it doesn't matter what level of basketball you're talking about. Sometimes there's just those nights where nothing goes right. But, man, have you ever been a part of a not-going-right night to that extreme before, Bobby?
No. Especially as a coach here, you could criticize some other things we haven't been able to do, maybe rebound the ball effectively or get enough stops, but scoring points really hasn't been something that has been an issue, with our program. So that was it was a tough night for everyone to endure. Really felt for the players because they were trying, just couldn't figure out a way to put the ball in the basket. And it was very fundamental things, layups and free throws, and some wide open threes. And we were really scrappy in defending. We held them to 18 points in the first half. So disappointing we couldn't put the ball in the basket, but I'm very pleased with how the guys responded on Sunday.
Let's go back to how you process that, because I read a little bit in Doug Haller's piece about it, and I thought it's fascinating because, you've had some real good moments at ASU, the Kansas games, the home crowd advantage that started to percolate. To have a 10-point half, to score that few points, how did you process that? What did that do to you emotionally?
Well, I mean, you're wondering how we're going to score because, we're getting some, like I touched on, some layups, open threes, 0 for 6 from the foul line, and, you're just wondering how, we're going to score. At the same time, you're saying, we're only down 8 points. How is this possible right now? But, the way we just played in that half. So, a lot of things are racing through your mind, and, you're getting some different combinations of guys in the game. You're looking for any kind of spark And but overall, I mean, we just put way too much pressure on our defense. We did the job at one end of the floor, and we were just so inefficient at the other end that, you know, we couldn't get out of our own way.
Last one for me on that game in particular, Bobby. For a guy who's known as being an emotional coach on the sidelines, when you have a game like that, how difficult is it to not react emotionally with your team, try to hit on positives if you can? How much did you wrestle with that after that game?
Well, I mean, we just, you know, went over it, you know, after the game, and just, you know, you can't be ignore it or hope it didn't happen or pretend it didn't happen. So, we took it, head on and went after it. We watched film, the next day of the first half and try to point out some of, the mistakes in the most constructive way that we could without, bringing a lot of emotion into it because, the guys were beaten up. It's been a tough stretch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
we lost a very close game at San Diego State. You know, in the last 2 minutes, we went and played three excellent opponents back-to-back-to-back in the Bahamas and traveled all the way back, and now we're playing Pac-12. And, some of those teams did not bounce back well out of the Bahamas. I know talking with my brother about his team, they struggled in their first game back just because of, the physical toll of a trip like that and playing three consecutive days.
The thing that really strikes me, and I agree with everything you're saying, but I wonder how you internalize this because you've done such a great job at upgrading the non-conference schedule, but with the churn and burn nature of college basketball now, trying to get chemistry and build chemistry early on, it's forcing you to rethink how to grow a basketball team in the early stages of a season, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you got to reevaluate just the level of difficulty in terms of the games and then balancing gaining confidence and as a team. I don't think we necessarily gave ourselves enough games to build that, and then having Marcus go out of the lineup early was not helpful in that process as well. But we are where we are, and we just got a big win and. Now we need to take steps forward after that.
Bobby Hurley, the head coach of the Arizona State Sun Devils, our guest as he is weekly here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. About that big win in a place in Eugene where, a tough place to play. It hasn't been kind to your teams going up there. And you get the overtime win and get some big shots down the stretch. I mean, the big shot by DJ Horn to send it to overtime, the big shot by Jay Heath in overtime. You come away with the victory. What can a win like that do to turn around this team's psychological profile right now, Bobby?
I think you play the right way. You work hard on defense. You make the extra passes. And then we made some plays, made some shots. And I think the guys saw that if you play the right way that, you can win. It's possible. So we played hard and we've been in these games and we haven't gotten the results. So to go on the road in a really tough place to play against a great program, and win a game like that, hopefully, again, builds confidence. And just very pleased with really all our guys. So you touched on, DJ hitting some shots early in the game and then hitting that clutch three to send it to overtime. And Jay Heats came on an extra pass from DJ. So that's great to see the trust, amongst players that your teammate can make the play. And then I thought Jalen Graham's minutes in the last 8 minutes of the game were huge for us. He was in foul trouble a lot of the game, and he really was productive. He got the big offensive rebound that led to DJ Horn's three-point shot.
Yeah, about that game, I love what you said about how sports guarantees you absolutely nothing. And when you guys arrived at Oregon, there was no guarantee that you guys weren't going to have another awful struggle on your hands. You just don't know in the competitive arena and to connect and to stay together and to withstand what you did. That's got to leave room for some real quantum leaps in growth, I would think.
I hope so. And I think it's a testament to the character of the guys in the locker room and the players we have. And, had a lot of individual meetings, following, that game at Washington State, and just, I love the fight and the response and to stand up for themselves the way they did. And, they played like men, and it was, made some big plays and really, showed me that they care about the season and the direction that it's going from this point forward.
Bobby Hurley, our guest here on Bickley and Murata Mornings, back to a non-conference stretch now. Starts at home against GCU. You guys played a really good game last year at their place that came down to the wire. You get the win. two completely different looking teams from a year ago. What do you make of GCU, this version of them? And I know you got familiarity with a couple of guys who were wearing your uniform last year.
Yeah, I watched GCU yesterday, so they're off to a great start, a really good record. Got really good backcourt play with Blackshear and Holland Woods, who was with us last year. Think the world of Holland, great kid. You know, happy for him that he's having a good season there. And it's going to be a real challenge. There's a lot of emotion in that game as well, just the local nature of the game. So, we're looking forward to having a couple of good practices and get ready for the game on Thursday.
And, Bobby, real quick before we let you go, it seems like we ask every week at the end of this interview, any update on Marcus Bagley's condition for this week?
Marcus is not going to be available on Thursday, but we'll know more and here today or tomorrow, and hopefully by the time I do media, I'll have a little more information about his timetable.
Sounds good. Bobby, thanks so much for the
time.
As always, best of luck. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bobby Hurley, the head coach of the Arizona State Sun Devils. He joined us Tuesday mornings here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Every day at 9 o'clock, we get social at Bickley_Murata on Twitter. Social Studies with Sarah Cazell is next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
You've been listening to the Sun Devil Fast Break with ASU men's head basketball coach Bobby Hurley. The Sun Devil Fast Break was presented by Arizona Ford Dealers.